Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come into this teaching time, this time of being able to hear what you have for us to understand and to know and to apply to our lives. We pray, Holy Spirit, that as we go forth, that any form of distraction or disturbance in the spirit realm would be removed. We release your holy angels to go throughout this sanctuary and to just give everybody the anointing to hear with clarity what you're saying. We release this out into the atmosphere. Those in the internet who are listening, those who will be listening later on via CD or tape, we pray the same thing for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title tonight is Getting in the Fight, Using God's Weapons to Defeat Our Adversary. And I was prompted to start off with a different scripture that Brother Brett doesn't have. Not his fault, so don't shoot him. It's mine. We're going to be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to start at verse 17. This is key to understanding what I believe God wants all of us to get tonight, and it's that you are in a fight, and there is a cause. Verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp, and as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in a battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Hey, now that's a prize. When you get some exemptions from some taxes, you're getting blessed. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See the attitude that David had? He wasn't playing. He didn't care who this man was. He knew he was an enemy of God. Do you know that your enemy is an enemy of God? Are you treating him as such? Are you going against him with that same fervor and intensity? Are you acting like he's your enemy? See, there's a difference, because if you're acting like he's your enemy, you don't have any power or authority over that enemy. But your God has power and authority over his enemies. Verse 27, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? There are souls. There's salvation. There are people in this region who need us to fight. And we have to fight until the fight is finished. It's not over. If you're coming into 2024 looking to get into a place of rest, you need to go back into 2023, get a new mindset, and then come back over here with the rest of us and fight. Because you're not coming over into 2024 and resting. I'm being very plain and being very real with you. There is a fight that is ahead of us, and you have to be a part of it. So, picking up with the notes, God has prepared us with many spiritual weapons that we need to pull from the arsenals of heaven. These weapons are for us to use and also live by. God provided them so we could stand on life's battlefield and stand watch over everything he has given us. You have stuff, and I'm not talking about material things. You have family members. You have loved ones. You have people that God has assigned you to minister to that you're responsible for. You got to be praying. You got to be interceding. You got to be covering them because it's your job to do that right now. Not when you become a pastor, not when you become a bishop, right now. Because this is the time where you learn those disciplines. You get those disciplines down inside of yourself. When you're dealing with deliverance, you have to deal with the different attitudes that come against you from the people who are being delivered. They don't know that they're doing these things, but they do. Every last one of them have a different perspective that they come from. Every last one of them have a different life history, and they bring that to the table when they come. And it's a fight to do deliverance on people, on God's people, because you just can't walk in there and say, okay, be set free. You got to deal with people not showing up. You got to deal with them having an attitude against you. And it's not them. It's the spirits that's in them. I don't know why I'm going in this direction, but we're gonna run with it. It's the attitude that comes from the demonic principalities and powers that are in the people that God has called you to protect and serve. And this is a part of the fight. You have to go into it with the mindset that, okay, this is what I'm called to do, and I'm going to endure the little bit of the attitude that they're giving me because I'm telling them, how come you haven't been at church? How come you're not reading your Bible? How come you're not praying? How come you're not fasting like you're supposed to, but you want to come and sit and have me work on you for 2 hours? It's real. You got to fight. There is a cause, and that cause is not for us to hold your hand every step of the way. I really don't know why I'm going here tonight. This is not in my notes, but a part of the principle of fighting is that you have to do your part. Every one of us is called to be a warrior in some level. And when you go into the military, they give you a list of duties and a list of responsibilities. They tell you how to make your bed. They tell you how to put your clothes on. They tell you where to eat. They tell you where you're going to get paid. And after they tell you that one time, they don't come back and tell you again. That information is not repeated to you. If you don't do it, you get disciplined. So why do we expect anything different in God's army? If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you are going to get disciplined. It's that simple. But it's not for the expectation of you getting disciplined. The drill sergeant gets no pleasure out of hollering at you. None whatsoever. They get more pleasure when you get it. And you're able to take on a load and a responsibility and to do your part. That's when they get pleasure. They don't want to lose their voice. They don't want to be screaming and hollering all the time. It does nothing. That means that they got to work harder. There's something that they're not doing right in order to get through to you. Or is it you? Are you not listening? Are you not paying attention? Do you not have the desire? David said there is a cause. There is a fight out here. And you got to see that it's for the souls that God has called you to minister to. Your way of ministering may be making a 15-minute webinar that's going to go out and someone is going to see it 2 years from now? How much intensity did you put in making that webinar? How much of the anointing did you allow to get inside of you so when that person who was supposed to see it saw it and they were changed forever? Seems like a small thing, seems like an insignificant thing, but it's not. Everything that you do builds and builds and builds and builds. And it's about our level of character. It's our duty to use these weapons, fight the good fight of faith, and make Jesus Christ proud that he picked us for the battle. Our mindset needs to be that the rules of combat determine that as we engage in spiritual warfare, we can be standing in green pastures in one moment, check this out, and then standing in the valley of the shadow of the death in the very next moment. This is real. When we know the truth, we don't have to fear any evil. We don't have to fear the valley of the shadow of death because it's going to be a temporary situation. Okay, they're shooting at me. I might get killed. If I die, I go to heaven and everything's good. If not, I got to get up in the morning and do it all over again. One more time. The love and presence of God will cast out all fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. We just need to know that God is with us. He's with us. It doesn't matter what the devil, it doesn't matter that the devil, his kingdom, and his demons have their weapons, because we have weapons of mass destruction that will take down their dark forces in the spirit realm. Run, devil, run. Love that song. We sang it this morning. That should be our anthem. When a battle is coming, there should be something that stands up on the inside of you that says, I'm going to use this. I'm going to drop kick him here. I'm going to pick him up, spin him around, and boom. Everything down on the inside, I'm going to knock him out. Our mindset should be bring it. Bring it. I'm not afraid. It's time to rise up, put on our armor, and shake off every hindrance, delay, blockage, distraction, doubt, and fear. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if God's really going to be with me. You need to put it down. You need to put it down. It should be an automatic response that kicks in. This devil is going to know who my God is. Automatic. Boom. I have to laugh at Catherine because she is my ride or die. Let some devils get to acting up, and here she comes. She's ready, walking, chest out and everything. Come on, let's go. Let's go. You want me to get the oil? Yes. Yes. Doesn't play. All of us have to have that fight on the inside of us. We have to not be afraid of what the devil is threatening with us. David was sitting there watching the armies of God, listening at Goliath scream and holler. And he was like, wait a minute, where is your fight at? Why are we still dealing with this particular situation? Is there not a cause? There is. It's time to show the devil and his kingdom that he knocked on the wrong doors and is messing with the wrong Christians. Like a thief who breaks into the wrong home and pays the price, the devil will pay for coming after God's own. What the devil meant for evil, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to turn around for good. We need to get that protective warrior mindset that's in Run, Devil, Run. I got something for you. Come on over here, please. Please, give me an opportunity. to show you what I got. Come on. Y'all have never been in a fight, I can tell. You ain't gonna have to say nothing. I ain't gonna be a whole bunch of talking. Just come on over here. Ain't gonna be a whole. I don't wanna say nothing to you. Just get a little bit closer, so I can get a good clean shot off. This is how you have to think about the devil, your enemy, God's enemy. We need to get that protective warrior mindset that's in Run, Devil, Run. We have spiritual arsenals from heaven to use against the powers of darkness on the battlefield. One of the best things you can do is be mindful all day, every day, of who King Jesus is in your life and who you are in him. I love to tell the devil, you are not stronger than God. That makes him so mad. And when you're sitting there looking at a devil manifest and he's blowing and snorting and cursing you and I'm not leaving, you're not stronger than God. I love to tell the devil, you're a created thing. And in God, I have all power and authority, and you cannot do what you want to do to this person, to me, to my family, to my church, to whatever. It's got to come from the inside. It's got to come from down on the inside. When you get in those situations where your fight or flight syndrome picks up, what you've practiced is going to come out. And if you haven't practiced, I'm going to stand up and punk the devil out. When he comes, you're going to be whimpering and cowering. But in your praise and worship, in your prayer closet, in your Bible reading, if you don't have that solidified and cemented down in your spirit, the devil's going to run you all over the place. He really is. He's going to run you all over the place. And you're like, I don't understand, how come God ain't helping me? He's waiting for you to get in the fight. He's waiting for you to get in the fight. There's a part that every one of us has to play. And God is waiting for us to say, okay, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm not letting anything stop me. John 8:31-40, the truth will make you free. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be set free? Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, everyone who practices sin habitually is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in a household forever. The son of the master does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. Unquestionably free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you plan to kill me, because my word has no place to grow in you. My word has no place to grow inside of you. If you're not making room for the Holy Spirit to come down on the inside of you, if you're not saying, I need to clean some things out so that God can step in, I need to get rid of this, and I need to get rid of that, I need to push that out because God has first place and first priority in my life, and when he comes, I'm going to be open to receive. To grow inside of you. Every day, your relationship with God should be growing. If it's not growing, it's dying. This is just the basics of science. If it's not growing, it's dying. You're decaying. Something has to get alive and sparked. There should be fire in your belly every moment. Every moment. Verse 38, and I tell the things that I have seen at my father's side in his very presence. So you also do the things that you heard from your father. They answered, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are truly Abraham's children, then do the works of Abraham and follow his example. He did not play. But as it is, you want to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this is not the way Abraham acted. Psh, there you go. When you know the truth, truth brings spiritual unity, alignment, positioning, and leverage. The devil might hit you, but he won't be able to move you. Come on. He might hit you, but he will not be able to move you. And this is what you have to learn by being in fights. Oh, that's what it's like to take a punch. Oh, he hit me in my chest. Okay, that stung a little bit. I'm going to counter and I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to hit him in a different place. Same thing with the devil. Oh, this scripture didn't work. I'm going to try this one here. Praising. Oh, yep. Let me take it up to a different octave. Ah! Yeah. Yeah. I'm a dance. I'm a dance in a certain warfare type dance and kick the devil in the teeth. You don't understand how important all of these things are when it comes to fighting. You got to use everything. You got to pick up some sand from the ground and throw it in the face. That's a fair fight. You need to get rid of whatever you think is fair and unfair and go for it. Because the devil's doing the same thing to you. Satan and his demons hate you as a believer, using heaven's weapons, because when you use them properly, they will destroy his kingdoms and his tricks. All right, some John Ramirez stories. To be victorious in spiritual warfare and experience breakthroughs in our lives, we need to understand three key principles or rules. Develop the characteristics of a true champion in Christ. A champion in Christ understands spiritual discernment, has spiritual awareness and sensitivity, has the language of heaven, has heaven's arsenals on standby, understands the authority that God gave him or her, carries an anointing, and walks with the presence of God. A champion walks with the truth of Jesus Christ wrapped around his or her heart. John 8:32 tells us, you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. You don't have to cower against the enemy. Walking as a champion for Jesus requires total repentance, because every unconfessed sin gives legal grounds for Satan to operate in your life. You could say he owns real estate in your walk with God. True repentance does not mean you cry and fall on your face. It means you turn away from your sin, from the world's ways, from compromise, from all mixture and lukewarmness, and never go back spiritually or naturally. You break the powers of darkness completely and fully. Number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that is the mark of a champion. I see Jesus Christ in you. This isn't something that you put on. It's something that comes from a life of commitment to Jesus. Jesus is inside of you, and others can see it. I'm going to add something to this. Jesus is inside of you, and the demons see it. They know it. They know that you are in the fight or you're not in the fight, and they can push you around if you're not in the fight. The biggest honor that any believer can receive when someone who doesn't know you or your testimony or how long you've been serving the Lord turns and says they see Jesus Christ in you, it says so much. I believe that the mark of a true champion is not in your flesh or your achievements, but in Christ and Christ alone. It is about everything he has done for you. It is the mark of a person who has been with Jesus. I believe that Paul says it in such an eloquent and unique way. My paraphrase, don't mess with me. I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. Galatians 6:17. Let that be your story. Be a champion for Jesus. 3, persevere. Another true mark of a champion in Christ is perseverance. The devil works diligently to carry out his demonic plans against you and me. He assigns demons that will try to steal, kill, and destroy. He sets up bondages, strongholds, and struggles as entrapments and pitfalls. He arranges diabolical attacks to hinder you. Those demons don't flinch or take time out. Like cobras waiting for the perfect moment to strike, demons wait for the opportunity that best suits Satan's agenda for you. I'm going to read that one again. Those demons don't flinch or take time out. Like cobras waiting for the perfect moment to strike, demons wait for the opportunity that best suits Satan's agenda for you. We need to be diligent too. That means persevering no matter what. Luke 18:1-8. Now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make a point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and had no respect for man. There was a desperate widow in that city, and she kept coming to him and saying, give me justice and legal protection from my adversary. For a time he would not, but later he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will give her justice and legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will be an intolerable annoyance, and she will wear me out. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? I tell you that he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith on the earth? Are you warring like you're supposed to war over your situations? Are you going into intense battle? Or are you doing like Hamas does and just lobbing up a few bombs here and there, throwing out some IUDs every now and then? Or are you getting with it? Are you bringing in the nuclear weapons? Are you bringing in the submarines and the aircraft carriers and everything? Look what happened with us October 7th. We took 3 aircraft carriers and put them right over there in the Middle East. Right, wrong, or indifferent, we said we're ready to fight. What are you telling the devil when he comes your way with his threats? You coming up with some bows and arrows? All right, I'm ready for you. Or are you spiritually going to war and bringing the big bombs? You have that capability because you serve the God. Do you understand that? Have you ever thought about that? You don't have to continue to tolerate the mess that the enemy is giving to you, is putting you in. Get in the fight. The woman in the story was consistent, persistent, relentless, untouchable, and unmovable. Those are true marks of a champion. Those who have been with Jesus, who know him, partner with him, and commit to him will persevere. It's not about knowing of him because you attend church occasionally or even every Sunday. It's about knowing Jesus and being with him. When that is your testimony, who can curse you? If Jesus Christ has blessed you, who can unbless you? The true mark of believers who fight the good fight is that they know they are in him and he is in them. No matter what comes their way, they stand. They have seen too much in Jesus Christ to quit. What's God's will for you on the spiritual battlefield? I believe it's for you to win all the time, all day, every day. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the enemy. Jesus gave us weapons to do this. Here's 10. Weapon 1, the Word of God. Weapon 2, the name of Jesus. Weapon 3, the blood of Jesus. Weapon 4, speaking in tongues. Weapon 5, prayer. Weapon 6, praise and worship. Weapon 7, pulling down the devil's schemes. Weapon 8, decreeing. Weapon 9, the fire of God and God's judgment. It's a weapon that we're supposed to be using. Weapon 10, fasting. Let's look at these. Weapon 1, the Word of God. Jeremiah 23:29 asks, "Is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test, and like a hammer that breaks the most stubborn rock in pieces?" Ephesians 6:17 reminds us to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What could be more powerful than what God says? He created the universe with his words. God shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not shine. Job 9:6-7. The best example of speaking God's word to the enemy is when Jesus answers Satan's temptation in the wilderness in Matthew 4:1-11. Verse 1 of Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And a tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus replied, "It is written, and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle, highest point of the temple, and he said mockingly to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to serve, care for, and protect and watch over you." And they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written and forever remains written, you shall not test the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, splendor, magnificence, and excellence of them. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remains written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him, bringing him food and serving him. Jesus didn't answer out of fear or anger. He just spoke the word. Jesus did not try to impress the devil with his spiritual power. This is something that we get in trouble with all the time. We want to show how anointed we are and how deep we are and how close to God we are. You don't need to do that. You don't need to say a word. Because if God is really in you, the devils already see it. The devils already see it. And if you're trying to impress somebody, you got a pride problem, and whatever anointing you have is being divided away from you by your pride. He lost. Get rid of it. He simply quoted the scriptures. See Deuteronomy 6:13, 16, and 8:3. That was the end of that conversation. The spiritual battle was over. So Satan left him until a more opportune time. the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus establishes the authority of the one who sits at the Father's right hand. In his name, we fight from the third heaven in all authority and victory. The devil is under our feet in the second and first heavens and underground. We don't engage the enemy in our own names. We engage in Jesus' name, the highest name of all. For this reason also, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God is highly exalted and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. It is sad to say that many churches have removed the word of God in the name of Jesus from their language, teaching, and preaching. How can God's people be victorious without them? They are the weapons God gave us to reach the promised land of our purpose and destiny. Weapon 3. We talk about this all the time, the blood of Jesus. Unfortunately, many churches have also removed the blood of Jesus from their versions of the gospel. But without Jesus' blood, there is no gospel. The blood of Jesus represents the finished work of the cross and the destruction of the devil's kingdom. Revelation 12:11 reminds us that our believing brothers and sisters overcame and conquered the accuser because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounce their faith, even when faced with death. If we want to be equipped for every battle, we need to always remember the blood of the Lamb. Without it, our faith is empty. Weapon 4, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a very powerful weapon that strengthens our inner beings in spiritual warfare. One who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God. He speaks mysteries, secret truths, hidden things. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edify means to instruct, uplift, enlighten, and inform. Tongues is a heavenly language that uplifts and informs us with heavenly input. Paul said it this way: in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. Weapon 5, prayer. When we have communion with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, all prayer is heaven's language. Prayer comes from relationship and intimacy with our Lord. Many today have lost that communication and those special moments in prayer with him. It's time to get back into prayer. It doesn't have to happen in a prayer closet. Prayer is communion and conversation with God throughout your day, wherever you are. Prayer also involves the church as a community. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored." The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Weapon number 6, praise and worship. When gangs go out to fight, they always brought their best weapons, guns, knives, bats, and chains. They had it all. But in the Bible, God's chosen people went to battle with the worship team out front. It is in the natural, this concept is foolish. Who sends the musicians out in front of the battle? They could only be crushed. But there is something in the spirit that drives the devil and his cronies crazy and even delusional. It's praise and worship. The devil knows that heaven moves on your behalf when you're praising and worshiping God. This is John Ramirez. I remember a point in my life when I felt broken and destroyed by people I trusted, respected, and loved. It hit me so hard spiritually that for months, I had no desire to read the Word of God, yet there was something about praise and worship. Certain songs carried me through and out of that dark time. Praising and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords set me free. King Jehoshaphat went through a dark season when it seemed that Judah would be crushed by its enemies. Then Jehazael prophesied, and Jehoshaphat acted on the word of the Lord. He appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in their holy priestly attire as they went out before the army and said, "Praise and give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever." When they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were struck down in defeat. The spoil of battle were more than they could carry away, so much that they spent 3 days gathering it. This is how effective and important praise and worship is. Weapon seven, pulling down the devil's schemes. James 4:7 says, "To resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Do not sit with him. Don't invite him to have coffee, tea, or milk and cookies. Cut off every conversation or dream that the devil wants you to entertain so he can infiltrate you. Cut it off completely and fully. He's trying to destroy your life, purpose, and destiny. Stop giving him an edge. It is time to renounce and resist what he is doing." And this is one of the biggest areas in the body of Christ, because they're in agreement with what the devil has told them. They're in agreement that they're going to be poor the rest of their life. They're in agreement that they're going to be overweight. They're in agreement that their family is always going to have strife and discord and contention in it. You name it. When we break agreement with those things, we can steal from the enemy those schemes and those plans that he's got against us. Remember what 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, "Though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Weapon 8, decreeing. In Job 22, Job's friend Eliphaz said that when you remove unrighteousness far from your tents, you will also decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And I want to stop right here, because the church is good for doing this. We're going to decree this and decree that and pull down a stronghold over Washington, D.C. If you have not done this part about removing unrighteousness from your tents, you're wasting your time. You can pull down every stronghold you want to over D.C., but if you don't remove that unrighteousness from your tents, nothing's going to happen. I'm telling you, this is something that I've experienced. I've seen the body of Christ do, and it is the most ridiculous thing in the world, because they won't do the simple thing and be obedient in that one area, but they're all powerful. They're showing the devil that they... Moving on. Matthew 16:19 says, "I will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be an improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven." We need to declare and decree things over our lives. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. We can speak life into our circumstances and situations. We can speak life into our purpose and destiny. We can speak life on the battlefield, no matter what we are going through. There is an amazing moment in the creation story when the earth is empty, void, and dark. Then God speaks, and there is light. Let that encourage you to speak to any place or season in your life that is dark. Speak to any strongholds and bondages. Declare and decree God's word over them to loose them and bind those devils once and for all. That is how we win. Declare and decree God's word over them to loose them and bind those devils once and for all. That is how we win. Remember what Jesus said to his disciple, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of the Christ." Matthew 16:18. We are his church, and the resurrection happens. Weapon 9, the fire of God and God's judgment. Hebrews 12:29 says that our God is indeed a consuming fire. It's time to lay out the devil and his filthy demons by putting the fire and judgment of God on them, their kingdom, their entrapments, plots, schemes, and setups. Look at how Elijah called down fire from heaven. And you guys can read that in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Just for the sake of time, we're going to go to weapon 10, fasting. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had gone without food 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus replied, "It is written and forever remains written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into this holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on a pinnacle. We read this already, sorry. We can rest assured that Jesus was intentional about fasting and about his whole wilderness experience. The devil tried every trick he knew to get Jesus to bow his knee, but Jesus was wise to him. I believe one of the lessons here is that fasting sensitizes us to what is happening in the spirit realm, where the real battle is. When Jesus' disciples were unable to deliver a man's demonized son from torment, Jesus said, "This kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting." In other words, the disciples were unprepared for the situation. Fasting is an incredible weapon. I need fasting. It pleases God and brings the carnal man, the flesh, and the world into alignment. It breaks the appetite for ungodly things and leaves the devil no opportunity to control me or anything about me spiritually. I understand that some people cannot fast for long periods. This is John Ramirez. But if you can do some level of fasting, even intermittently, God will honor that. Let it become a lifestyle so you can increase the effectiveness of your spiritual warfare. The devil will have no choice but to retreat in Jesus' mighty name. And you guys know all the different types of fasts that God permits and allows. These 10 weapons are things that will get you in the fight, will keep you in the fight. And we have to apply these things not only once, but repeatedly. Sometimes you need to use all 10 every day. Sometimes you need to use all 10, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 times a day. You have to do whatever it is that needs to be done to show the devil that you mean business. These are the times that we're in right now, and that God has called all of us to, the entire body of Christ, to be in a warfare. And we can do this. He's gifted us. He's anointed us. We see the cause. We see that there's a battle. And now is the time for us to go forward and get into this fight and just fight all the way until we step into eternity. You ready to do that tonight? If you're ready, God's ready to anoint you for this battle, for this fight. Come receive so you have the strength and the power that you need to destroy